Dr. Hawkins, we ended the last session discussing your clinical work, the work that you did and how you hacked into the calibration and the kinesthetics and the scale of consciousness. So you started it really with very practical applications, and I know you feel that the world can benefit through practical applications of this technique. Can you share some of your insights on that and how it can benefit us all?
What we found was a unique tool. Okay, that's interesting, intellectually, etc. We applied it to spiritual evolution. That's very interesting. How can it be applied to benefit mankind in general, contribute towards world peace, contribute to the standard of living of everyone in the world? If you can tell truth from falsehood about a thing and calibrate the level of truth, the applications are enormous. So we have in the book a diagnostic scale of relationships. And there's two columns. They both go from 1 to 1,000. One is labeled us, and the other is labeled them. Aha. So you calibrate who you are or where you're coming from, and then you calibrate who you're dealing with or what your target market is, etc. And this is extremely revealing. In a couple of seconds, you suddenly get the whole difficulty in international relationships that's plagued people for centuries. It's revealed in two simple numbers. It's so obvious that you say, God, how could we have missed it? Yeah. I tried to devise a science of international relationships. I'm very interested in international law and international relationships and what works and what doesn't. You see, the UN is not working. I mean, you know, the UN is a humanitarian organization, but you calibrate it, you know, its effectiveness in the world has been about zero in stopping wars, let's say. So it's because there's a lack of understanding and knowledge of the two different cultures. So I say to understand who you're dealing with, you have to calibrate the level of the president or the leader. You have to calibrate the government. And you have to calibrate the people. Wow, now suddenly you've got an understanding of who you're dealing with and why things are happening the way they are. The same thing in, you know, let's say politics. Who are we? What is our position? What is the calibrated level of our agenda? And what's our target market? And you'll see why, you know, completely explains the last election, you know what I'm saying? So you devise a platform that was strongly influenced by a fringe group that constitutes about 6% of the voting population. And now you take a major political party, you slant it towards what is really only 6% of the population. You just missed the target. Your product just didn't go over. So I'm thinking of the same thing in marketing and advertising. Mm-hmm. We always get a kick out of calibrating television commercials. Last night there was a bunch of them on, you know. And television commercials, you know, that are so fake, calibrated below 200, you know, and they probably turn off all kinds of customers. And the ones with animals are so appealing. Everybody loves a commercial about animals, you know.
Well, I know the Geico was one of the
Geico
higher calibrated.
Oh, Geico is very funny, very clever, you know. So I don't know who writes up these television commercials. Some of them are so stupid, I couldn't. There was one by one of the major corporations in the United States. It ran incessantly, probably the dumbest television commercial I ever saw. I couldn't even figure out what they were selling, you know. So anyway, the customer out there is paying because, you know, the price of this is being put on your product. So
now here's a question. Do you want to create a commercial that calibrates at the same level as the target
your
market
target
or higher?
Audience. No, the same.
Same level.
Yeah. If you're trying to get a message across, who is it you're trying to get this to, you see? Mm-hmm. Well, there's marketing surveys and all that, but when you watch the consequences on television, you realize they missed the mark considerably.
Right.
You know, they take a high-priced car that's really going to appeal to people that are very wealthy, very, very wealthy, and then you put a teenager racing it around the city streets. You know, you just missed your market because those aren't the people that are going to buy your Bentley. Nobody's going to buy your Bentley and then put a 16-year-old and tear around the streets. So, you know, or drive across the lawn. There's one that they drive across the park and drive across the lawns and all, you know. It just totally misses the market.
Right. Now, this is a little bit of an aside. You have somebody, though, if we want responsible television and we want to raise consciousness.
You have to ask, is that your function and your role? Mm-hmm. And do you have the capacity to that? If you're going to raise people's level of consciousness out there, the people that you want to get your message aren't going to pay attention to your message.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you understand?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's the whole failure of international diplomacy. You got, let's say, a population out there that calibrates at 180. You're peddling a message that calibrates at 440.
Right.
They think you're stupid. Don't you know that kindness, fairness, and balance is stupid? Mm. It's ignorant. It's laughable. Yeah. So I use the analogy in the book of my own personal experience. The Marquis of Queensberry rules applies only in specific situations. You try it out in the back alley and you're going to get your head knocked off. The American is always using the Marquis of Queensberry rules. We're going to be fair. If we're nice to the world, they're going to love us. If you're nice to certain segments of the world, they're going to think you're idiotic, weak, vulnerable. Passivity invites aggression. That's the law of the jungle, huh?
Do we fight the country that's at 180 with a 180 back at them?
You're not going to sell them a program at 440. You're going to have to try to educate them and bring them up to where it makes sense to them. So countries below 200 are only interested in a program if it serves them. You have to point out, how does democracy serve your country?
So you have to get in their mindset
of
180.
Well, their countries are run by power mongers. You send them humanitarian money, it's scooped off the top. The people never see that. I mean, it's, you know, naive to think that. So how would adopting democracy serve you and your country or your political party or this particular leader? You know, we sell it on an ideologic basis of integrity and moral superiority. The United States is really all full of moral superiority. That's what turns off everybody, superior Americans, you know. No, it's a very good system. It's not the most perfect system either. You know, democracy doesn't calibrate the highest of all the possible political arrangements at all. It doesn't. So it's very, very excellent considering the world's history. It also tends to disintegrate after a couple hundred years because if you give people equal votes and most of your population is below 200, they're going to vote themselves benefits and put you out of practice. And you're, you know, that happened in ancient Greece. And to have success, then, you have to be realistic. And sometimes I sound like a Dutch uncle, and it's because I am concerned, so very concerned about the world and the miscalculations that go on, see? Mm-hmm. The other application I wanted to mention about it as a practical issue is as a diagnostic tool in science, clinical science. So you can calibrate the level of a research project, and then you can calibrate the level of the research, the main researcher, and then the project. You can predict before you even do the research whether it's going to be successful or not, and I've done it. If you tell me who the researcher is, show me what the research design is, I can tell you what the result's going to be without having to spend $10 million to find out. And some very famous researchers who were successful and made major discoveries, their research designed at the time calibrated at 440, then later in life came up with research designs which obviously had a different intention behind it. And the whole thing calibrated at 130 or 140. I'm thinking of a very famous example. So the taxpayers are paying out $10 million for a research project that calibrates at 140. I could tell you before it even started, it's doomed to failure, doomed to failure. You're taking off with one prop not working on your plane. So instead of waiting for it to crash, you know, so here we have a diagnostic system. I have a lot of faith in the hard-headed businessmen that people like to criticize and put down and so on. No, I have a lot of respect for the hard-headed businessman. He's a realist. So if I say to him, look, we got a diagnostic method before you invest, you know, $14 million in developing so-and-so, at a cost of zero, within a matter of seconds, we can tell you the likelihood of this being successful or not. I'm thinking the hard-headed businessman is going to say, wow, consciousness calibration money. Well, we've already researched that it can double your return on the money you spend on advertising. I can increase the return on your investment dollar in advertising by 250%. Wow. By merely diagnosing what is your target market, what is this, what calibration level of this ad, and you see you just missed it. There was a chunky guy with blue wings on and all kinds of preposterous home situations. He was in, pregnant women wandering across the field, and I couldn't figure out what the heck they were selling. Never could figure it out, and it ran repeatedly. You know, I calibrated the level of that ad, it was like unbelievable. A multi-million-dollar company, some of the brightest brains in the world, and they invest in this, you know. So I'm looking at the hard-headed businessman.
Right.
The realist. And you see, you can achieve world peace through hard-headed business people. No, I like a hard-headed, realistic businessman to make decisions, because he says, I want to know the facts.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
I can see a lot of businessmen eventually get to heaven because they want to know the facts. The facts are that this Calvary is higher and that spiritual truth is a higher truth than secularism. Wow, I'm going to look into that. I appeal for the salvation of mankind to the hard-headed businessman who plays a bigger part in all of it than he realizes.
Right.
Yeah, we look to him for survival, don't we? When we open a can of something and drink it, we presume there's no poison in there. Yeah, it's application to just practical affairs, business, politics, research.
Mm-hmm. Test markets and stuff. You don't have to have a panel of people.
That's very expensive, and it's very fallacious. And a lot of things that, you know, let's look at the new Coca-Cola. You know, I mean, I could have told you that. If you calibrate the new Coca-Cola, you'll see it wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the flops you can save yourself, the black eyes, bad publicity. I'm thinking of organizations, too. So you've got organizations to save the whale or something. Whatever it is, what is their integrity, what is their design, and who is their target market?
Right.
Okay, because I'm interested in saving the whales, too.